This was actually originally scheduled to be my last sermon here. And as my last sermon, I wanted to speak particularly to the young people in the church. But just because it's not my last sermon anymore doesn't mean that I've changed my mind. It just means that you've got more time to talk with me after the sermon. Now, just because this sermon tonight is intended for the youth here, it doesn't mean that if you're not a youth, you can just switch your ears off and kind of relax for a bit. I hope that it's beneficial to everyone here tonight. But young people, this sermon tonight is especially for you. So I encourage you particularly to listen and to pay attention and to consider what I'm going to say to you tonight. Well, let's read in Luke 17, and right now I'm just going to read verse 32. Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Well, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to the preaching of your word tonight, that we would have hearts that are ready and open to hear what you would have to say to us. Lord, please help us by your Spirit to see what you have to say to us tonight about Lot's wife, and that as Jesus said, that we would remember her, and that you would help us to do that tonight. Lord, help us not to be distracted. Help us to focus upon what your word says, and please use it in each of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm fairly certain that my life story has many similarities to all of you young people here tonight. You see, I grew up in church just like you are. I had Christian parents. I was taught the Bible. I heard good preaching. I was surrounded by Christians. I saw answers to prayer happen, and I saw people being saved. Now let me ask you this. What do all of those things have in common? They are religious privileges. They are something that not every person in the world has. They're things that I should have been very thankful for as I was growing up. But how did I respond to those things? The truth is, for a long time, I responded with indifference to all of those things. I didn't really care that much about them. I was thankful that I had good parents, but I didn't really appreciate what they taught me. I learned a lot about the Bible, but I didn't really receive it as God's word. I heard good preaching, but I didn't really pay attention. In fact, if I did pay attention to the preaching, it's really only because I knew my parents were going to ask me afterwards to see if I was paying attention. That's really the only reason I paid attention to the preaching. And maybe some of you young people are like that tonight. Maybe you've grown up coming to church, but it's not really that important to you. Maybe you just come to church because you have to. Your parents tell you, you've got to come to church, and so you do. Maybe you don't really care what the sermon is about. And if that is true of you, you actually have a lot in common with Lot's wife. Jesus said, like we just read, that we need to remember her. So that's what we're going to focus on tonight. We're going to seek to remember Lot's wife. So I want us to think, first of all, of her religious privileges. Her religious privileges. And again, if you have read J.C. Ryle's book on holiness, his chapter on Lot's wife, I need to give credit to him for the idea for this sermon. And again, if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. Now, 2 weeks ago, When we did our study on Lot, we started out by looking at who he was. And that's what we want to do with Lot's wife. But the truth is, we really don't know that much about her. We don't even know what her name was. Anytime that she's referenced in the Bible, she's just known as Lot's wife. But we do know that she had some amazing privileges for someone living in that day and age. So what do we know about her privileges? Well, if you remember back to the sermon about Lot, if you were here, how many believers were living on earth during the time of Abraham and Lot? Not very many. Not very many at all. As far as we know, Abraham's family was the main body of believers living on the earth at that time. Just think with me of the thousands and thousands of people who didn't know anything about the true God during that time. And yet, Lot's wife did. Lot's wife lived among the people of God. She had privileges that so few other people had. She had the privilege of spending time with two men who were followers of the Most High God. And despite their failings, because we all know that Abraham and Lot were not perfect people, but despite their failings, they did have hearts that were changed by the grace of God. She would have had opportunities to hear them pray. She would have learned of God's promises to Abraham and his family. Can you imagine what it must have been like to sit and listen to Abraham as he shared what God had spoken to him? But there were more privileges than just that. When her husband was tormented day by day because of the deeds of the wicked people in Sodom, remember, we looked at that last time. Don't you think she would have noticed that and seen, my husband is not like all of the other people in the world? And on top of that, when it came time that God was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah for the wicked deeds that they had done, God had sent messengers to her family. She had heard those messengers. She had been warned by the angels to flee from Sodom. And when her husband lingered, the messengers had taken them by the hand and rescued them from the city. How many others from the city had those same privileges that she had? No one except her and her family. She was a privileged person. Young people, what privileges has God given to you as a result of being here at Emmanuel Baptist Church week after week? You have the opportunity every week to be surrounded by God's people, just like Lot's wife was. You have the chance to hear God's people pray and sing. Let me ask you something. If God actually spoke during a church service, if you could actually hear from the God of the universe, would you pay more attention in church? Would it cause you to listen with a little bit more interest? Do you wonder what he would say if he spoke? Do you wonder what he might say to you? How would you respond if you knew that God was speaking to you? What an incredible privilege that would be, right? Young people, let me tell you something. He has spoken. He has spoken through his word, the Bible. The Bible is God's word to us. And when you walk through these church doors and you sit down and you hear the Bible being read, you are hearing God speak to you. And when you listen to a sermon, you are hearing the words of God being explained to you week after week. And how do you treat those words? How do you respond to these privileges that God has given to you? Now, maybe you don't really consider these things to be privileges. Let's be honest. Is there somewhere that you would rather be right now than here among God's people? When the pastor opens the Bible to read it, do you just immediately tune out? Do you switch your mind to a different station and just hope that it's over sooner rather than later? How do you think God feels about that? That he has given you the privilege to hear his words, and maybe you don't really care that much. In his great love and patience, he has given you opportunities and privileges that many people do not have. There are millions of people all around the world who have never had the opportunities that you have had. Millions have never had the gospel preached to them. Many have never even heard the name of Jesus. But you have. And why is that? It's because God is giving you a privilege. It is a gift from God. And when you come to church and sit down and tune out God's word because you think it's boring, what is that saying? What are you saying to God when you just come and you sit down and you tune out? You're telling God that you don't really need what he has to offer. You're acting like the world is more valuable than God is. The Puritan William Jenkins says this: to forsake Christ for the world is to leave a treasure for a trifle, eternity for a moment, reality for a shadow. Young people, don't treat these privileges as if they mean nothing. Don't come to church week after week and just ignore God's word. Matthew Henry says, great privileges will not secure us from the wrath of God if we do not carefully and faithfully improve them. In other words, you can come here week after week and hear God's word being preached to you, but if you do not respond in repentance and faith, all of those privileges will do you no eternal good. And so I urge you tonight, remember Lot's wife. Remember the privileges that she had and that she wasted. Well, let's consider secondly then her disobedience. Her disobedience. Let's go back to our text from last time in Genesis 19 and think a little bit about her story and what happened to her. Genesis chapter 19. Again, remember, this is the chapter where Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed. And God had sent angels to Lot and his family to warn them to flee from the city. And we'll pick up the reading at verse 15. Genesis 19, verse 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. And then skip down to verse 24. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Why did Lot's wife suffer the same punishment as those in the city? What had she done? Verse 17, the angel from God says, do not look behind you. And in verse 26, we're told, but his wife looked back. Now, here's a question that I want to ask you. Does this seem like a small sin to you? Does this seem like just some small little thing? And you might think, why is something little like this worthy of such severe punishment? Why is Lot's wife being punished like the people in the city? Well, if that's how you're thinking, Matthew Henry would correct us and would say that we have it all backwards. You see, we don't judge the severity of the punishment because we think the sin isn't that bad. We need to do the opposite. We need to judge how bad the sin is based on how severe the punishment is that God uses. God brought upon her the most severe of judgments. Matthew Henry helps us to understand some of the aspects of her sin and why it was so bad. First of all, she disobeyed an express command. God had told Lot and his family exactly what not to do, and she did it anyways. Secondly, unbelief was at the bottom of it. She didn't really believe what God was going to do to the city. She also loved her possessions. And lastly, her looking back was an indication that she wanted to go back. What do all of these things tell us about Lot's wife? They tell us that she loved the world, not God. Do you want to know how Lot and his wife were different? Lot heard God's promise, and though he first lingered, like we heard about last time, he then obeyed, and he wanted to obey God. But Lot's wife was taken out of Sodom. However, Sodom was still in her heart. She loved the pleasures of the world more than anything else, and her looking back was an evidence of that. J.C. Ryle comments on the text that we read back in Luke 17, where Jesus says, "Remember Lot's wife." J.C. Ryle says this: "She fled with her husband from Sodom in the day when he escaped for his life by God's command, but Lot's wife was not really like her husband. Though she fled with him, she had left her heart behind her. She willfully disobeyed the strict injunction which the angel had laid upon her." That means the command that the angel had laid upon her. "She looked back towards Sodom and was at once struck dead. She was turned into a pillar of salt and perished in her sins. Remember her, says our Lord. Remember Lot's wife." She wasn't, even though she was married to someone who was a follower of God, even though she had had the privileges of being among the people of God, she wasn't really interested in God. She was in love with the world. 1 John 2 and verse 15 says this: "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." In other words, you cannot be a Christian and be in love with the world. Young people, let me ask you this. Are you like Lot's wife? You evidently have lots of religious privileges. You're here at church week after week. You have Bibles in your homes. There are many people around the world that don't have Bibles in their homes. There's places in the world where it's illegal to have a Bible. How many Bibles do you have in your house? How often do you hear the Word of God being read to you? But do you care more about the world and the things of the world? Yes, you believe that God exists. I mean, when I was growing up in a Christian home, I believed God existed. But are you really just indifferent to him? Maybe you just don't really care that much. Or maybe at the end of the day, your attitude is this: I'm not really that bad. Yeah, you'd admit that you're not perfect, but who is right. You've learned growing up in church that you're a sinner like the rest of mankind, but to be honest, you just don't feel like a sinner. You certainly don't think of yourself as being as bad as all the people out there in the world that aren't in here at church on Sunday. And if you're not really that bad, why would you need God and what he has to offer? But do you see the same things in yourself, your own heart, that you see in Lot's wife? That you really love the things of the world more than God? J.C. Ryle again says, little symptoms are often the signs of deadly and incurable diseases. That look of Lot's wife was a little thing, but it revealed the true character of Lot's wife. Young people, do you have any of these little symptoms in your life? A bad attitude toward your parents? Unkindness toward your siblings? The elevating of sports and popularity and social media and video games to first place in your life? These may seem to be little things. You're not out on the weekends drinking and partying. You're not outwardly rebelling against your parents, maybe. But just like Lot's wife, these are symptoms of a much bigger problem. The problem is a heart that is opposed to God and in love with the world. Now, why am I taking the time tonight to show you just how sinful you are? It's not exactly the most pleasant of subjects. Maybe, if you're honest, it makes you squirm a little bit in your seat to hear about how sinful you are. But this is why. This is why I'm taking the time to do this tonight. It's because you will never be saved unless you recognize that you need to be. And you will never see that you need to be saved unless you really feel in your heart that you are a sinner against a holy God. In the words of one author, until sin is bitter, Christ will not be sweet. Young people, the love of the world may not seem like it's that big of a deal, but in reality, it's one of the most subtle and dangerous sins. Well, then, let's look thirdly tonight at her judgment. We've seen her religious privileges. We've seen her disobedience. And now let's look at her judgment. Look again at what happened to Lot's wife in Genesis 19 and verse 26. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. God's judgment was brought upon her when she was in the very act of her sin. There was no more opportunity to repent for her at this point. She had the religious privileges. She had many opportunities to repent and to seek God, but her heart had no regard for the Lord. And so the Lord brings immediate and final judgment upon her. What does this teach us about God? It teaches us that God is holy and God is just. It teaches us that he will not let sin go unpunished, and that there is coming a final judgment for all who are opposed to him. I want you to turn back with me to Luke 17, and I want you to see the context of the verse that we're talking about. Maybe if you're younger and you think, well, what does the context mean? That means if we're looking at a verse, we're going to look at what's around it. What about the verses that come before it? It'll help us understand what the verse is talking about. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to go back to verse 28. Luke 17 and verse 28. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. You see, the exhortation that Jesus gives us to remember Lot's wife is in the context of his second coming. It's in view of the coming day of judgment that we are to remember Lot's wife. And do you see the connection? God was bringing judgment on Sodom for its great wickedness, but Lot's wife loved Sodom. She had heard the warning to flee, but she didn't really believe it. And in the same way, the Bible warns us that there is a day of judgment coming, and we must be ready for it. And when you come to church and ignore the word of God, young people, you are flirting with destruction. When you come and listen to the preaching, and maybe you agree with what the preacher says, maybe you've grown up in a solid church, and you've got a good understanding of correct doctrine, and you agree with what the preacher says, but then you go back into the world, back to your school, back to your work, back to your friends, and you live your life with little or no regard for God's word. You're deceiving yourself that everything is okay, that it doesn't really matter. I want you to imagine with me for a minute that you're going over to a friend's house for dinner, and there's a thunderstorm coming, which really isn't that big of a deal here in South Florida. There's lots of thunderstorms, as I have found out living down here during the summer. But the weather keeps getting worse and worse. The sky looks really black outside. And so you get out your phone and you're going to look up a weather report. But all of a sudden you realize the weather report is not needed, because you look out the window and there's a tornado coming. And it's coming right for the house that your friend is in, the house that you're in. And there's absolutely no way that this house is going to survive the impact of this tornado. And so you run out of the house and you're going to look for shelter somewhere else because the house isn't going to survive. But then as you're running, you realize, where's your friend? Where is he? He's not with you. And so you run back to the house and you go inside, and what's he doing? He's sitting on the floor hugging his new TV. And he's got his iPad there, and he's got his sports trophies around him. And he's sitting there, and you think, what are you doing? There's a tornado coming. You've got to get out of the house right now. And he says, I just can't bear to give up all my stuff. I just got this TV. I haven't even gotten to watch it yet. And I love my iPad, and I don't want to lose my sports trophies. What would you think about that guy? You think, this guy is absolutely crazy. He's going to be destroyed with the house and everything in it. He needs to run as quick as he can and get out of there. But young people, that is exactly what you are doing if you are loving the world more than God. Young people, the wrath of God is like a Category 5 hurricane. And I'm afraid that some of you are standing on the beach saying, it's not that big a deal. There's a day coming when you will stand before God to give an account of your life and what you have done with the privileges that you have. So what are you doing with them? Are you heeding the warnings to flee from the wrath of God? Or are you daily flirting with the world? If the things that bring you the most joy in this life are the things of the world, then you are following the example of Lot's wife. Do sports bring you more satisfaction than God does? What about movies? What about video games? What about Facebook and Instagram and popularity with your friends? Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that those things in and of themselves are wrong or sinful. But here's what I am saying. If you love these things more than you love God, then you are not ready for the coming judgment because you are not a Christian. Young people, you cannot be a Christian and continue to love the world more than you love God. You know, young people, it's not easy to stand up here and preach. And I'm not saying that because it's hard to get up and do public speaking. I'm sure some of you are doing public speaking in school, and maybe it is a little bit uncomfortable sometimes, but that's not what I'm talking about. It's not easy to stand up here and preach, because if you're going to be faithful to say what the Bible says, you're going to have to say some hard things. If you want to be faithful to people's souls, there are hard things that you're going to have to say. And I know that I've said some hard things already, but I'm not done yet. And in fact, what I'm about to say is probably the hardest thing that I'm going to say tonight. But I want you to listen. Please listen to me and what I'm about to say. All of the privileges that I've talked about coming to church, hearing the word of God being read, listening to the preaching of the gospel, being around God's people, young people, if you ignore those things and continue to love the world more than God, hell will be worse for you than it is for the people of Sodom. Hell will be worse for you. And I don't delight to tell you that, but that's what God's word says, and I want to be faithful to warn you about that. In Matthew 11 and verse 20, Jesus, it says, then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. And listen to what Jesus says about one of those verses, or one of those cities, in verse 24. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. Now, God is not making an unfair judgment here. He's not confused about who deserves what. Young people, you've been here week after week hearing the gospel being preached to you. You've seen people who used to not care about Jesus. They used to not care about church and Christianity. And you've seen them be baptized and declare their allegiance to Jesus Christ. How did that change happen? You've seen God at work in our midst. You have had so many privileges. And if you refuse to repent after seeing all of those privileges, your punishment in hell will be worse than the people of Sodom, because you have privileges that the people of Sodom never had. God is warning you here. Do not be deceived by the world. Remember Lot's wife. Now, maybe some of you are here tonight and you think that you're okay because of your knowledge of Christianity. If you grew up in a Christian home, you know that the Bible is God's word, that Jesus died to save sinners, that God predestines people to be saved, and that homosexuality is a sin. But having a good understanding of the Bible is not enough to save you from God's wrath. Trying to convince your friends about correct doctrine doesn't mean that your heart is right with God. You see, Lot's wife knew all about true religion, but she perished in her sin. Young people, the Bible says that the wrath of God is coming. Like a police car in your rearview mirror, God's judgment will eventually catch up with you if you will not repent. So what should you do? I hope that there are some of you here tonight, I hope that all of you here tonight are seeing this is serious. My soul is in danger and I need to do something about it. What can I do about it? Do you see your sin for what it is? Even though before maybe you saw, oh, it's just a little thing. Maybe I'm just disobedient to my parents every now and again. Maybe I'm a little unkind to my siblings. Maybe I'm a little disinterested at church. But now you're recognizing, I have sinned against the God of heaven and earth, the God who has given me these privileges. I hope that all of you are seeing that about yourself tonight. And if you are, what should you do? How can you escape this inevitable judgment? Do you remember the story of Pilgrim's Progress? And Christian in the city of destruction? You should do what he did. You should flee from the wrath to come. And how do you do that? How do you flee from this wrath of God that is coming against you, that you and that I justly deserve? The Bible makes it very simple. You need to repent of your sin. That means to turn away from it. Let go of it. Don't love it anymore. And place your faith in Jesus Christ to save you. The old hymn says that a saved person is someone who's been wakened up from wrath to flee. Young people, I hope tonight you will be wakened up from wrath to flee. A Christian is someone who sees their guilty state before God and know that they deserve God's just punishment in hell. In case you're wondering, Christians aren't perfect people. Christians are people who see themselves as sinners and see that they need a savior. And they know that they can't do anything to save themselves. Nothing that you can do can save yourself, can merit your right position before God. You can't come to church with a perfect record of attendance. You can't read your Bible enough to make you right with God. You can't pray enough to get rid of your sins. But you can come to Christ and trust him, the one who took the punishment of sinners upon his own shoulders, and trust that what he did can save you. He died in order to take the punishment that sinners deserve. Young people, will you trust him to save you and to make you right with God? And you know what? The amazing thing is that God, who will punish every unrepentant sinner, he does not delight in the death of the wicked. Pastor Smith reminded us of that this morning. He does not delight in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from their ways and live. And God says, why will you die? Turn from your ways and live. Some of you here tonight aren't saved. Some of you here tonight are not right with God. And it's not because there's not enough evidence that God exists. It's not because there's too many hypocrites in the church and that's turned you off. If you're not saved here tonight, it's because you're not willing. You're not saved because you don't want to be saved. You don't want to let go of your sin. You don't want to let go of the love of the world and come to Christ and admit that he is the only one who can save you from your sins. And I plead with you tonight, Don't be like Lot's wife. Don't ignore the great privileges that you've been given. You've heard the gospel over and over again. Young people, the day of judgment is as certain as the day of your own death. Nothing can stop it from coming, but you can be ready for it. How can you be ready to stand before God on that day of judgment? You can remember Lot's wife. Why do you think Jesus tells us to remember Lot's wife? Isn't it because it's easy to forget? And I urge you, young people, don't go home tonight and just put your earbuds in and crank the volume up on your music and forget about what was said tonight. Don't forget about Lot's wife. Don't forget about all of the privileges that God has given to you here in this church. Don't forget about Jesus Christ, the one who died to save sinners from their sins and to make them right with God. I urge you to do that tonight. Don't just leave here and think, well, that was an okay sermon. On to what's next. I urge you, remember Lot's wife. Ask God to help you remember Lot's wife. And ask God in his great mercy to save you. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this reminder in your word that we should remember Lot's wife. I pray that you would help those of us who are Christians to remember Lot's wife, that we would be prepared ourselves to stand before you on the day of judgment. And I pray for those who are here tonight who do not know you, those who are strangers to the grace of God. I plead with you to have mercy on their souls. And I ask that you would open their eyes by your Spirit to see the dangerous state that they are in. Help them to see that if they are Lot's wife, that they are destined for nothing more than destruction. And I pray that you would help them to run to Christ. Help them to see that coming to Christ is not complicated, but that they simply need to repent of their sins and to trust him to save them. I pray that you would do this in many tonight for your honor and glory. Lord, would it not bring you glory to see many young people saved, to see many older people saved who do not know you already? I pray that you would do this because you are merciful. And I pray that you would do this for the glory of our Savior. We ask in his precious name, amen.